Okay. Again, we're going to go through the book of Jonah. The book of Jonah, we're not sure of the author, but we do know that it's a story about Jonah. It's written in the third person, so we know that he had to have shared what happened in this book. Like I said, it is one of the minor prophets. In the order of minor prophets, it ranks about the fifth, and it's different from the other prophetic books in that most prophetic books are prophecies. Those are statements, you know, that the prophet received and that he proclaimed. But with Jonah, it's a story. And it's telling us about Jonah, you know, about what happened to him. The spirit and the teaching of Jonah sort of ranks high among the Old Testament prophets, but the prophet himself may not have ranked as high. And we're going to look at that, at Jonah the prophet. The name of Jonah means dove or peace. And we see him presented first in 2 Kings chapter 14, verse 23 to 25. It says, in the 15th year of Amaziah, son of Joash, king of Judah, Jeroboam, son of Joash, king of Israel, became king in Samaria, and he reigned 41 years. He did evil in the eyes of the Lord and did not turn away from any of the sins of Jeroboam, son of Nebat, which he had caused Israel to commit. He was one who restored the boundaries of Israel from Lebo Hamath to the Dead Sea, in accordance with the word of the Lord. And the God of Israel spoke through his servant Jonah, son of Amittai, the prophet, from Gath Hepher. So other than that, we don't see a lot about Jonah's background. But we know that he was in the place where he prophesied to the kings. And we don't see that he had any problem doing that, prophesying to the king. But we do see overwhelming evidence that he did have a problem prophesying to the Ninevites. The Ninevites were of Nineveh. And Nineveh actually means gift of God. That's ironic. Because the Ninevites were a cruel and bitter enemy to Israel. The Ninevites worshiped the god of Ishtar, and this was a goddess of war and love. And their reputation, as far as war was concerned, just shows just where they were spiritually. You know, they were very cruel to the people that they conquered. One of the practices listed that they would do to the men was put a hook in their nose and drag them around the city. So they were pretty cruel. When we look at Jonah and his stand against the Ninevites, we see the background, we see the history, but what we need to see is our God above and over all of that. Nineveh was the residence of Nimrod and was called Fishtown because they worshiped a fish god. And this is kind of ironic. It had the head of a fish and a body of a man. And we know that Nineveh was the capital of Assyria on the banks of the Tigris River. It was about 60 miles around. And again, Jonah did not like the people, nor did he like the message that he was to deliver. We're now going to look in the New Testament because Jesus references Jonah. We're going to look in Matthew chapter 12. If I can find it. Matthew chapter 12, 38 to 41. It says, then some of the Pharisees and teachers of the law said to him, teacher, we want to see a sign from you. And he answered, a wicked and adulterous generation asks for a sign, but none will be given it except the sign of the prophet Jonah. For as Jonah was 3 days and 3 nights in the belly of a huge fish, so the Son of Man will be 3 days and 3 nights in the heart of the earth. The men of Nineveh will stand up at the judgment with this generation and condemn it, for they repented at the preaching of Jonah, and now something greater than Jonah is here. So that's very important that This is what Jesus says. You know, and we need to take heed, to pay attention, go back to, let's look at Jonah. And that's what we're going to start now in Jonah. Jonah is not a large book, so I may read quite a bit of the scriptures here. So in Jonah chapter 1:1-2, it says, "The word of the Lord came to Jonah, son of Amittai. Go to the great city of Nineveh and preach against it, because its wickedness has come up before me." And as we see that, God gave him a command. He told him to go to Nineveh and to deliver his message. What God didn't elaborate on, at least we don't see it in the scriptures, he didn't say what his reaction would be, what the Ninevites' reaction would be. He just gave him a command, go and deliver this message to the Ninevites. Yet, Jonah knew, without God saying, he knew. It's just like we know some things about God. We know that he is merciful. We know that his desire is that all be saved and none be lost. Jonah knew what God intended. He was given Nineveh an opportunity to repent. And that's what Jesus came to do. He get to give us an opportunity to repent, to turn to God, away from our evil and wicked ways. This country, Nineveh, because they were enemies to the children of Israel, you know, Jonah wasn't seeing that. He did not want to do it. So Jonah's interpretation of this is that, you know, he feared the Ninevites would heed the message and repent, and that God, who we know is merciful, would forgive the city, even though for many grievous years they oppressed his people. Jonah, this description is coming from one of the dictionaries I read. It said, Jonah was a narrow-minded patriot who feared that Assyria would someday destroy his own people, and he did not want to do anything that might contribute to that event. So Jonah wanted to take things in his own hands. You know, he wanted to determine what the outcome would be. And he thought he had a good cause. You know, he's standing up for his country, Israel, the people of God. You know, it makes sense, you know, if you really think about it, but there's God. There's always God. And what is he saying? What is he doing? What did he want the prophet to do? So his bitterness made it hard for him to be God's missionary. So we're going to take a look at Isaiah 55. Isaiah 55, Isaiah 55, if I can get there. Why did I lose it? There we go. Okay, Isaiah 55, 7-9. It says, "Let the wicked forsake their ways, and the unrighteous their thoughts. Let them turn to the Lord, and he will have mercy on them. And to our God, for he will freely pardon. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. As the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts." So we see Jonah had his own thoughts, but God's ways and thoughts were much higher than that. That was not what his plan was. Jonah's plan wasn't God's plan. So in verse 3 and 4, we see what Jonah decided to do. "But Jonah ran away from the Lord and headed for Tarshish. He went down to Joppa, where he found a ship bound for that port. After paying the fare, he went aboard and sailed for Tarshish to flee from the Lord." Now, here's Jonah trying to run from God. You know, it's like, how can you do that? You know, you cannot run from God. You know, there might be things you don't want to do, you don't like. But God, our God, no way. He's everywhere. He is everywhere. But, you know, Jonah, he was the prophet. He had a message from the Lord, and he did not want to do it. You know, and our God has always dealt with man's disobedience to him in all kinds of forms. We're going to look in Jeremiah chapter 23:16-22. This is what the Lord Almighty says. Do not listen to what the prophets are prophesying to you. They fill you with false hopes. They speak visions from their own minds, not from the mouth of the Lord. They keep saying to those who despise me, the Lord says you will have peace. And to all who follow the stubbornness of their hearts, they say, no harm will come to you. But which of them has stood in the counsel of the Lord to see or to hear his word? Who has listened and heard his word? See, the storm of the Lord will burst out in wrath, a whirlwind swirling down on the heads of the wicked. The anger of the Lord will not turn back until he fully accomplishes the purposes of his heart. In days to come, you will understand it clearly. I did not send these prophets, yet they have run with their message. I did not speak to them, yet they have prophesied. But if they had stood in my counsel, they would have proclaimed my words to the people. And listen what would happen. And would have turned them from their evil ways and from their evil deeds. Am I only a God nearby, declares the Lord, and not a God far away? Who can hide in secret places so that I cannot see them, declares the Lord? Do not I fill heaven and earth? Every crevice, every place, every mountain, every cave, every country, every household, God is there. And you cannot hide from the Lord. Jonah received his instructions, but he decided to flee. He was so adamant not to do this that he fled to Tarshish, which was in the opposite direction, far, far away. You know, that's what, you know, that's just to tell you how much, you know, it's not like just I'm not doing it. I'm running away. I'm trying to go as far away as I can so that I don't have to do it. And David put it very nicely in Psalm 139. He said, where can I go from your spirit? Where can I flee from your presence? If I go up to the heavens, you are there. If I make my bed in the depths, you are there. If I rise on the wings of the dawn, if I settle on the far side of the sea, even there your hand will guide me. Your right hand will hold me fast. And I thank the Lord for that. If I say, surely the darkness will hide me and the light become night around me, even the darkness will not be dark to you. The night will shine like the day, for darkness is as light to you. Hallelujah. And in Hebrews 4, chapter 4, verse 12, 13, it says, for the word of the Lord is alive and active, sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates even to dividing soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It judges the thoughts and attitudes of the heart. Nothing in all creation is hidden from God's sight. Everything is uncovered and laid bare before the eyes of him to whom we must give an account. And yes, God was in fact there. He was sending a storm that could not be ignored, even by the sleeping prophet. So we're going to return back to Jonah. And we're just going to read what happened after that. Then the Lord sent a great wind on the sea, and such a violent storm arose that the ship threatened to break up. All the sailors were afraid and cried out to his own God, and they threw the cargo into the sea to lighten the ship. But Jonah had gone below deck, where he lay down and fell into a deep sleep. The captain went to him and said, how can you sleep? Get up and call on your God. Maybe he will take notice of us so that we will not perish. Then the sailors said to each other, come, let us cast lots to find out who is responsible for this calamity. They cast lots, and guess where the lot fell? On Jonah. Cannot hide from God. I don't care how you try, you can't. So they asked him, tell us, who is responsible for making all this trouble for us? What kind of work do you do? Where do you come from? What is your country? And from what people are you? And he answered, this is Jonah, he's saying, I am a Hebrew, and I worship the Lord, the God of heaven, who made the sea and the dry land. Wow, when he said that, that's sort of different from all the other gods they were worshiping. He's talking about the one who created everything, and that's the God that we serve. This terrified them, and they asked, "What have you done?" They knew he was running away from the Lord because he had already told them so. And the sea was getting rougher and rougher, so they asked him, "What should we do to make the sea calm down for us?" He said, "Pick me up and throw me into the sea," he replied, "and it will become calm. I know it is my fault that this great storm has come upon us." And we see here, like, our sin doesn't just affect us. It affects it can affect our family. It affects our nation, you know, our sphere of influence, you know, it affects others. These people were in jeopardy because of the disobedience of this prophet. And so, you know, Jonah's solution was just go ahead, cast me overboard. But the shipmaster and the other men did not want to be responsible for killing him. So they tried to avoid the inevitable. So as they were trying to avoid that, the storm became worse. You can't fix it. Only God can fix it. Man cannot. He might try, but he cannot. It takes Almighty God and crying out to him. You know, but that wasn't, you know, it wasn't God's plan to kill Jonah. But you know, at least Jonah said, "Throw me overboard so that this harm won't come to you." And as soon as they did that, there was peace in the sea. So Jonah is in the sea, but so is God. And he was there even before. He prepared a fish for Jonah, already prepared a fish for Jonah. And we understand that. You know, there's a lot of discrepancies. What kind of fish? It's irrelevant. God prepared a fish. And one thing we can conclude is that it wasn't like a spacious, luxurious accommodations. No, Jonah was in distress. But let's see what happened while he was in distress. We're going to look at chapter 2, verse 1 to 10. It says, from inside the fish, Jonah prayed to the Lord his God. In distress, at a place where it looks like you're about to die, he prayed to God. "Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, thank you, thank you. From deep in the realm of the dead, I called for help, and you listened to my cry. You hurled me into the depths, into the very heart of the seas, and the current swirled about me. All your waves and breakers swept over me. I said, I have been banished from your sight, yet I will look up." Have you ever been in that place where you think that, "Oh, I have messed up, God, help me"? But what do you do? Jonah said, "I will look up. I will look up toward your holy temple. The engulfing waters threatened me. The deep surrounded me. Seaweed was wrapped around my head." You see, this is not good accommodations at all. He was in a bad place. "The roots of the mountains, I sank deep. The earth beneath barred me in forever. But you, Lord my God, brought my life up from the pit. When my life was ebbing away, I remembered you, Lord, and my prayer rose to your holy temple. Those who cling to worthless idols turn away from God's love for them. But I, with shouts of grateful praise, will sacrifice to you. What I have vowed, I will make good. I will say salvation comes from the Lord." And the Lord commanded the fish, and it vomited Jonah on dry land. Thank you, Lord, for your deliverance. Thank you, Lord, for your saving grace, your power. So even in that dark place, Jonah prayed, praised, and worshiped the Lord. He recognized his need for mercy from God. You know, even though he rebelled against God, you know, he knew he could count on God. He knew that he could call on the Lord for the mercy of God. But what still, he did not want God to shed his mercy on the Ninevites. But ultimately, we know one thing for sure, and that the will of the Lord will be done. God's will get done one way or the other. So Jonah's out of the fish. You know, he promised that he would obey the Lord. And then we see in chapter 3, Then the word of the Lord came to Jonah a second time. Second time, our God, God of a second chance. You know, just go to the Lord. You know, you repent to the Lord. He is faithful and just to forgive you of all your sins. You know, that's our God. And he's given him the order again to go to that great, the great city of Nineveh and proclaim to it the message I gave you. Jonah obeyed the word of the Lord and went to Nineveh. Now Nineveh was a very large city. It took 3 days to go through it. Jonah began by going on a day's journey into the city, proclaiming 40 more days and Nineveh will be overthrown. That was the message. The message coming from God through a reluctant prophet. But nonetheless, you know, those people took heed to it. You know, we don't know what may have been going through their mind, what they saw. Maybe they heard about this man who came out of a fish. You know, maybe they knew that it was Israelites. You know, these, you know, they may come and conquer or whatever. But they heard the word of the Lord. So just as the Lord had prepared the fish for Jonah, just as the Lord, you know, had created a storm, the Lord prepared the hearts of this wicked nation. You know, sometimes it looks like there is no hope for people, but God can prepare their hearts. You know, we as ambassadors of Christ, we have a message, and our message is to repent. It's for people who don't know the Lord, who haven't received the gift of salvation. You know that there is hope. There is hope today. You know, for the Ninevites, there was hope in that day and time. You know, later on, we see decades later where they turned away and another prophet was sent and time was up. We don't want that for anybody that we know. We don't want that for our worst enemy. God said, love your enemies. You know, do good to those who treat you evil. If they are not saved, you know, our love for them should say, we're going to call down God to touch your hearts, to prepare you. When you hear the message, you know, like one may go with the message, another, you know, may plant the seed, but the Lord God will raise the harvest. In this last day, there will be a harvest for the Lord. You know, there will be people from all nations, tribes, people of all economic backgrounds, people that are in all kinds of sin will receive the Lord, will receive salvation and be there, you know, in that great day when the Lord comes for his glorious church. So thanks be to the Lord God, you know, that when they heard that message, the Ninevites believed God. A fast was proclaimed, and all of them, from the greatest to the least, put on sackcloth. When Jonah's warning reached the king of Nineveh, he rose from the throne, took off his royal robes, hallelujah, covered himself with sackcloth and sat down in the dust. This is the proclamation he issued to Nineveh. By the decree of the king and his nobles, do not let people or animals, herds or flocks taste anything. Do not let them eat or drink, but let people and animals be covered with sackcloth. Let everyone call urgently on God. Let them give up their evil ways and their violence. Who knows? God may yet relent with compassion, turn away from his fierce anger so that we will not perish. You know, imagine that the king of this wicked nation who prided themselves on being evil, you know, they, you know, but God can touch the heart, you know, of those who have turned away from him, those who have rebelled from him. You know, when God saw what they did and how they turned from their evil ways, he relented and did not bring on them the destruction that he had threatened. So isn't that something? You know, Jonah's preaching to the Ninevites, you know, caused them to repent. Hallelujah. Our God's will triumph, even over a foolish prophet. And we see how God deals with those who humble themselves before the Lord, even a wicked people who were enemies to his children Israel. You know, there was a great revival among the Ninevites. A revival, and that's what we pray for. We want revival. We just want to make sure that we're doing what God is commanding us to do and that he will bring forth his seed. God commands us to love our enemies. Yeah. in Jonah's relationship with the Lord, one thing about this, when you're reading through this, and we'll get into the other chapter later, just about how Jonah felt about that revival and all. But one thing, Jonah's relationship with the Lord was open and honest. You know, he was just able to tell the Lord, you know, how he felt about what God wanted to do. But of course, he didn't have the final say, thank God. He didn't have that. But at least he was able to talk to the Lord. And that's what I like about the Lord. The Lord's relationship with us is so personal. It's so fitted to us. It's amazing to me that this God, who has millions of people to consider, that he would consider me. You know, I might be whining about something, but the Lord will comfort me with just simple words like, but I love you. You know, and how can I go on in that foolishness? What can I say but thank you, Lord? I am glad that you are with me. You know, I'm glad, you know, you see me where I am, and you're continuing to improve me and allow me to repent and get it right. You know, Lord God, help me, help me, help me. But we can just be so happy when the Lord brings revival to a people who were away from God, because he's all constantly reviving us. So, Jonah wasn't happy about this outcome. And again, like I said, this outcome was for that day at that time. And and it's important for us to know the seasons of the Lord. You know, well, I wouldn't say so important. If God reveals it to us, it's important. But if he doesn't, it's none of our concern. If he said, go here, you go there. You may not see or understand or think it's the right timing, but if God said, go here, there's no more thinking. There's obedience. There's just obeying what the Lord said. We don't have to figure it out. We don't have to say our wisdom said, no, don't do this. Don't go there. No, the Lord said, go, go. You know, he will provide. He will take care of. He will touch the hearts of people. You know, he will make your way straight. You know, that's our God. You know, that's the God that we serve. And we want to obey him so that his will be done. And I'm not sure where my timing is, but I mean, I'm almost finished. But I want to read as we look in Revelation 7:9. In Revelation 7:9, it says, after this I looked, and there before me was a great multitude that no one could count. And listen to this, from every nation, tribe, people, and language, standing before the throne and before the Lamb. They were wearing white robes and were holding palm branches in their hands. And they cried out in a loud voice, salvation belongs to our God, who sits on the throne, and to the Lamb. And the angels were standing around the throne and around the elders and the four living creatures. They fell down on their faces before the throne and worshiped God, saying, amen. Praise and glory and wisdom and thanks and honor and power and strength be to our God forever and ever. Amen. Around that throne, included in that number, are souls who used to be Ninevites. Thank you, Lord God. Bless you, Lord God. And if the Lord's willing, next time we'll go over chapter 4, which is the complaint that Jonah had, and the sign of Jonah that the Lord gave in the New Testament.